Christ is risen from the grave, and so will we. May God bless us as we come in peace, in the name of Jesus, who's the Prince of Peace. In Jesus' precious name, amen. I would invite you, if you will, to turn to our text for tonight, a reading from John chapter 20. We begin that reading with verse 19. If you're a visitor with us this evening and don't have a Bible at home, we encourage you to take one of the pew Bibles so that you can read and study God's precious word. It's a gift from God to you. Our sermon title for tonight is Perfect Peace in His Presence, a reading from John chapter 20. I hope you heard a bit of that in the opening song we sang. When we sang Hosanna, what we're singing is, Jesus, save us. And do you remember in the song that we sang, it said, when we come to Him face to face, then we find peace. The peace that passes all understanding, that keeps our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Here we are, the week after Easter. I don't know if it is for you the way it is for me, but it seems, doesn't it, maybe in some ways, like Easter was a long time ago? It does. It seems like it was a long time ago because of how filled this past week has been. You know, in some of our families, there were a day or two off, perhaps, because of Easter, and now those folks have gone back to work. Because it was Easter, perhaps some of your college students were back at home and they had a chance to visit, or maybe they went off on some kind of a spring break, but they're back at the colleges and universities. Our youth, our children from our school had a few days off and now they're back at it, hard at work at school. It seems like it's been so long ago since Easter because so much has taken place. Well, tonight's gospel reading catapults us right back into the heart of Easter. It's Easter evening. And what we find on Easter evening is that the disciples were gathered together that evening and they were afraid. They didn't know the peace that passes on all understanding. They weren't at rest and comfort because of all that they had seen. They were afraid. It's true. They had seen and heard so much already that day. There had been the message from the angels at the tomb. There had been the women that had seen Jesus. There had been the disciples on the way to Emmaus who brought back the report. All of this took place, but where were the disciples? They were locked in, locked away, and afraid. You see, they had remembered also how Jesus had celebrated the Passover with them, how Jesus had been captured in the garden, how Jesus had been brutally treated and finally nailed to death on the cross. They had seen where his body was, and all of those things were fresh in their memories, and that's why they were there, afraid. Afraid and bewildered, not understanding what it all meant, even with the variety of reports that had come to them. What they needed was what only Jesus could bring. And sure enough, Jesus did come. Jesus in his resurrected body. We don't know what that means exactly, but one day we will. A resurrected body that was truly a body with flesh and blood, but a body that was supernatural, able to do what our human bodies alone by themselves are unable to do. And Jesus came and stood among them and said to them, peace. He nailed it. He nailed it right on the head because he knew what it was they needed above everything else, and that was peace. The peace that passes understanding because hearts and minds are in Christ Jesus. Jesus appeared to those first disciples and he gave them the peace that only he could give. As Jesus spoke to them, Jesus showed himself to them. They showed that he was not an apparition. He wasn't a ghost. He wasn't a figment of their imagination. It really was their rabbi, their teacher, their master, their savior. Jesus said to them, "Peace I give to you. My peace I give to you." He appeared to those disciples who had gathered that first week, and Thomas was not with them. And then a week later, when Thomas was with them, and what he invited Thomas to do, and perhaps any of the rest, is to take their finger and place it where the nail marks had been in his wrists or hands, to take their hands and place it into his side to see that it really was him. It really was Jesus there among them. At one time, he asked for some fish, something to eat, and they gave it to him, and he ate it, so they could see that he really was really alive. Really Jesus, their Savior, their Master, and their Rabbi. As Jesus spoke to them, he gave them peace. In the presence of Jesus, really, when Jesus is with them and them with him, that's peace. Jesus spoke to the disciples and he breathed on them. He breathed on them and gave them the gift of the Spirit. I don't know if it reminds you, but it does me, of our very first parents, of Adam and Eve. Remember in Genesis? He formed them out of the clay, Adam, and he breathed into them the gift of life. And now he was breathing into these disciples the gift of spiritual life through the work of the Holy Spirit, so that they need not be afraid any longer, but that the Holy Spirit would help them to remember everything Jesus had told them. And in remembering that, they could have peace because Jesus would always be with them. Then Jesus said to them, "I am giving you the charge. I'm giving you the charge to speak a word of forgiveness to those who need to hear it. Just as you have been forgiven, just as you have heard that message, so I call you to be messengers of that forgiveness. Where you forgive sins, they are truly forgiven. And where you retain sins or tell people their sins are not forgiven, they are not forgiven. Not because you disciples decide that in some willy-nilly fashion, but what you're announcing is what God himself does. When someone's truly penitent, truly sorry, then you announce what I am telling you, God says, that you are forgiven. And when you're not sorrowful, when you're not repentant, when you want to stay in your sin and do your own thing, then announce to those folks they are not forgiven because God knows those hearts and minds." Jesus said to those who had gathered, "I have been sent to you by the Father to bring peace, so that there would be peace between God and man. And now, as I have been sent, I'm sending you." He said to them, "You have been forgiven, and now I want you to be forgiving and to announce that message of life and death and resurrection and forgiveness of sins." He announced that to them, and he calls us to be those same messengers. Sometimes we are not at peace. We are afraid. We are worried. We tremble about what happens around us, and Jesus would stand with us today too. As he stands with us, he wants us to look to him. Whatever the hardships, whatever the difficulties in family and work, in our own personal lives and situations, Jesus wants to stand with you, and he knows what you need. He knows better than anyone. He knows better than you and I do what we need. And in his presence, we can find exactly that. You see, I think this illustration is a good one. I believe that God has created all of us with a God-sized hole. God desires a relationship between us and Him, Him and us. And God creates us with a hole that only God can fill. It's a God-sized hole. And where problems come in life, where people get into trouble, is when they try to fill that hole that only God can fill, because He's the only thing big enough to fill it, when they try to fill it with other things. And when they do, we get into all kinds of trouble. You see, sometimes we try to fill that hole with other people. Sometimes we try to fill it with power or drugs or sex. And whatever it is that goes into that hole, if it's not God, because it's a hole that only God can fill, it becomes like a black hole in outer space. Stuff is sucked into it, but it's never enough. It's never enough because God is the only one that can fill that space. God desires to be in relationship with you. He desires to be in relationship with all of His people. And when we seek peace in ways other than seeking Him face to face, we'll never be satisfied. It'll never be enough, no matter how much we pour into it, because it's only in Jesus that we know that perfect peace that passes all understanding. You see, I believe that Thomas had everything he needed. Thomas had everything he needed to believe, but until he saw Jesus and believed in Him, he didn't have enough. Thomas wouldn't believe. I refuse to believe. He wanted more. He wanted more that he could be satisfied. We can find satisfaction, and we can find peace truly, true peace, only in Jesus and Him alone. So, brothers and sisters, Jesus would come to you tonight. Jesus would come to you and say to you, "Peace. My peace I give to you." Not as the world gives, not as you try to seek it and get it for yourself, but in my presence there is perfect peace. And those disciples long ago, even though they were afraid of what was outside and afraid of the future, they could relax and they could be comforted. They didn't know every detail. They didn't know everything that would take place, but in Jesus, there was peace. Oftentimes, when I pray for you and myself, I pray that we would know Jesus' presence just like those early disciples did, and just like they found peace, though they didn't have all the answers, so it is with us. You see, in our lives, there are difficulties that come. There may be difficulties in your family and with loved ones, with those who are ill. You've probably heard me say it over the course of these last few weeks, but my mother has cancer in South Dakota. We're concerned about Mom and her situation and that whole first regiment of chemotherapy that seems to have done nothing, and now the start of the second chemicals. We don't know what will take place, but we don't need to be afraid. God has given Mom peace in knowing Jesus, and that's the peace that passes all understanding. Even when a loved one or a family member dies, we don't have to be without peace. We don't have to be, Paul says, like those who do not know, those who are ignorant about those who fall asleep, because we believe that if someone believes in Christ and dies in faith in Christ, they're alive. And so while we mourn, we do not do so without hope. Our hope is in Christ Jesus. And this last image of a woman, whatever your fears, whatever your worries, whatever your concerns may be, and there are many of them for all of us and in our families, Jesus knows those. And Jesus invites you to come to Him. And when you come to Him and you're with Him face to face, through His word and through your prayers, as you seek Him, He will be found by you, and He gives the perfect peace that passes all understanding. One of my favorite passages in Scripture is this one from Psalm 16. Psalm 16, verse 11 says, and would you read it with me? In thy presence is the fullness of joy and pleasures forevermore. In thy presence, being with you, Jesus, being with you, Father, being with you, Spirit, being with you, there is fullness, fullness of joy and pleasures forevermore. May that be your faith. May that be your experience also, that you bring whatever it is and place it at his feet. And when you do, he gives you peace, the peace that passes all understanding, that keeps your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. For Jesus' sake, let it be so. Amen. Now may that peace fill you this night and always. For Jesus' sake, amen.